Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show presented by Jewstool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Amr. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, I'm not. No, he's got to show up. He's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 pitch.
I can do vision.
Should we end the podcast now?
I think I'm at breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
I'm right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the full package.
No way. I don't care. No way. I can't even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy-defining plays and legacy-defining throws. 13 seconds. And you get the ball in field goal range. That is absolutely insane.
I have to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
All right, Meisty. It's time for Super Bowl week, media week. Get pumped, baby. Get pumped. What are you watching the Super Bowl, Meisty? Where are you hanging out?
I don't know. You know, Super Bowl is one of those. I think that it should be a legal holiday. I think that the country should be off on Monday. To, you know, I think that every city should celebrate the winning team. Maybe the teams in the rival don't have to celebrate. I don't know. Each to their own. But I think the NFL and the fans in the country should be getting together to celebrate the winner of an incredible season, and probably one of the toughest things to do in America is to win the Super Bowl. It's easier to win the Super Bowl than shoot down balloons. But other than that,
I think it's an interesting point. People sometimes underrate how difficult it is to win the Super Bowl. People are like, well, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Well, you know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl? It's like, what, there's been about 10 teams in the NFL out of 32 teams have not won a Super Bowl, at least 10 teams, maybe even more. You know,
especially if you're a team that played in the last 20 years, in the last 25 years, it's just been one guy just dominating the league, one team, one player, you know, and then you're like if you won, good for you, but you know, the one guy dominated most of it.
That too. But you know, even aside from that, in out of 32 teams, 12 teams have never won a Super Bowl. 12. That's a lot. And 4 teams have never made a Super Bowl. So it's like, it's not an easy thing to do. Like, if someone has an entire career, a 12, 13-year career quarterback, and he doesn't win the Super Bowl, it doesn't mean he stinks. Because, like, it's very hard to do it. Now, obviously, winning a Super Bowl and leading your team to a Super Bowl, more specifically, is a part of a legacy. If you want to be one of the greatest of all time, that's generally a prerequisite. But, you know, just because I'm just saying it's looked at it as a black and white type of fact in football. It's like, well, he's never won a Super Bowl. You know how freaking difficult that is? Like, I don't think people understand how hard it is. You have to get hot for 4 games straight. You need a lot of luck. There's a lot of luck involved in the Super Bowl run. A lot. Every single team that's won a Super Bowl pretty much has had a lot of luck. You just need that. And no matter how good you are, you could have the best team in football for 10 years straight and still not win a Super Bowl, you know? Now, like you're saying, this recent development with Tom Brady, this is just ridiculous. This is an exception to the rule. So we're all having recency bias, but that never happens. Even Joe Montana only won 4 in his 20-year career. So you know, it just doesn't happen. The guy, you don't consistently win Super Bowls. Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw are the only guys to win 4 Super Bowls other than Tom Brady.
And it wasn't just Tom Brady winning 7. He was in, what, 11, 12? Like,
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So on top of that, let me ask you this. I know we didn't discuss this prior, but I'm going to ask you either way. The Pro Bowl. Did you watch the Pro Bowl?
I actually quite enjoyed it. Yes,
I did. Watch the whole thing. I'm telling you. So I watched it yesterday. I'm sitting there watching it with some friends, and you know, someone's like, "Oh, I don't know. This was the most boring Pro Bowl. What the heck is happening?" Oh, no, no, no. And I turned to him. I said, "Dude, it's the last minute of the game of the third game, right? Sure. About to be over." I said, "Dude, when was the last time you sat and watched the full Pro Bowl?" We just watched a full Pro Bowl for the first time in our lives. We sat down and enjoyed somewhat of a game.
Yeah, no. I, Yeah, I agree. I happen to agree with you, Maisie. I actually quite enjoyed it. You know, I like the format. I like when they get creative. I like doing out-of-the-box things. And I thought the three games with all three quarterbacks, you know, a lot of times in the Pro Bowl, you're not really sure how to distribute the three quarterbacks throughout the game, right? So Mahomes sort of gets the first half, and then, or if Mahomes ever plays, but he never has because he's always in the Super Bowl. But, like, you would have a guy like Mahomes getting the first half, and then Burrow would get, what, the second, third quarter, and then what, like, Herbert would get the fourth. Like, how do you do that exactly? Here, you're sort of able to split it up. Three games, three quarterbacks. And I like that there's points, and then the last game, you take where you left off, and then last game wins it all. I liked it. And also, the fact that you had the Peyton Eli type of thing, especially for us Manning Cast followers, that was a good dynamic going on, too, because we knew they took it seriously. There was some, you know, family stuff going on over there. So Peyton was legitimately not happy at the end of that game. Like, that was not – I don't think that was
– Eli's first win over him in football.
Ever, right. It's like this Eli was pumped, but you never knew his emotion.
Ray Lewis on one side, it was exciting to have Ray Lewis on one side.
Yeah, and Ray Lewis was there. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I agree. I sat down. I watched most of the three games. I watched a couple of the competitions. I happen to agree with you. Unpopular opinion because everyone likes to hate on the Pro Bowl. And I will say this. I will say this, okay? This is what I'll say about the Pro Bowl. The fact that we're still saying this guy's an 8-time Pro Bowler as if it means anything is ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
And that should have already been proved this year from the lineup, especially the quarterback lineup. The only reason the quarterbacks that made it was because the first four quarterbacks were all injured. None of these guys, were top three quarterbacks in their conference. None of them. Right. Sure. Especially Tyler Huntley was absolutely ridiculous, but that's even besides the point. So it shouldn't mean anything anymore.
Let me throw you this. I think that, you know, part of the reason why guys don't show up to the Pro Bowl is, first of all, they think it's not enough money. So what I would do is I would make the Pro Bowl more exclusive, way more exclusive. 10 guys from each conference make it. And that's who plays. You have two quarterbacks, you know, but okay, a handful of, no, so not more than 10, but two quarterbacks, a handful of receivers, a tight end or two, you know, and then the linemen, you need five linemen, six linemen. And then, so you basically one team, the all pro team. Right, you know, and they get paid a little bit more. They play a 7-on-7 or whatever, flag football the way they did, much better. More exclusive, more money for the players. You'll get the Josh Allens to play. You'll get the Justin Herberts to come and play. Those guys will love to come and play.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. I think getting creative, as you're saying, with your ideas, but also the flag football is a great idea because players were more competitive, whereas when it's tackle football, players nobody wants to hurt anyone in these games. So everyone's sort of cautious. This that here, you're just pulling the flag. You're not going to hurt anyone generally. So people were flying around trying to pull those flags. And also, you know, actually, oh wait, let me just fix my camera over here for a second. Sorry, this will just take a second. Okay. So actually, Eitan Lewis pointed out something good. Give him a shout out. He was saying that flag football actually requires a bit more skill. It actually requires a bit more skill. Tackle football is more athletic based. It's more physical, sheer physical ability based. Whereas flag football, it's got to be a little more tactical. You got to know how to pull those flags. You know, we played flag football in high school and throughout the years. So it's not easy to pull those flags. It ain't easy.
Were you impressed with the?
I'm sorry, I missed you. You said, were you impressed with the something? Okay, I think Meisty's breaking up a little there. Meisty, I think you have to check your connection. I think we lost over there. But if your question was going to be, are you impressed with their ability to pull the flag? The answer is yes. I was definitely impressed with that. Like I said, it's a completely different skill. Like, tackle football is sheer physical ability. And you just, if you're a big guy, linebackers are big, strong guys, you simply throw your body at the running back, at the receiver, whatever it is, and that's how you tackle him. There is some tactics involved, no question. Go low, like they always say, you know, tackle from the legs, tackle from the ankles. But at the same time, when it comes to flag football, it's a completely different art. And I don't know if they practice throughout the week specifically to play a flag football. I don't know if, you know, maybe Peyton and Eli were coaching them up on that, but it was cool to see how they handled it. It was cool to see that they were able to do that successfully.
I highly doubt that they were practicing flag football. They were probably out having a good time, and they just showed up at the Pro Bowl and like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, oh, which makes it even more impressive. which makes it even more impressive. You know, they looked like they knew what they were doing out there. It's a completely different game. Yeah.
Maybe he's not back.
No, I don't think so.
No. All right. Thank you, everyone, for sticking.
I hear you guys.
Yeah, right. But you gotta.
Aaron is beaming in. He was on the Chinese balloon, but that's where he was getting his Wi-Fi from. So, ever since he just found a free Wi-Fi network, it's a Chinese spy balloon, and he connected. Ever since then. He's been having trouble connecting to the podcast.
You know, I'm here. You know, piggybacking off it's very foreign to them about Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is a foreign concept. So, yes. I'm trying to stream from Montana all the way to South Carolina. So, anyway.
Micey, can we, Kate? So you were asking me a question. Are you impressed with something? Maybe we can get through the question this time.
I don't think so.
Because you're probably going to lose me again. the question is, were you impressed with the ability that the players had to grab
the flag? Correct. Right. So I answered that question already.
Guess correctly, Rocky.
Right. Good job. I guess correctly. All right. I have not always been a good guesser, but I guess in this context I was. So I wanted to discuss a couple other things. I wanted to discuss it with Meisty, ideally, if he's there. You know, we have a lot of – this is really when the off season starts, Meisty. Oh, there. I see you waving. All right. We got you for a second here. Let's see how long it lasts, Mr. Wi-Fi. So the off season really starts this week because almost every single team, with the exception of two, are already looking to the off season, to the draft, free agency, re-signing their players and all that stuff. So, you know, obviously – the hot topic this offseason is going to be Lamar Jackson. There's Aaron Rodgers. That's a hot topic as well. Those two guys, Derek Carr, will be a little less, but also a hot topic. Brady retiring. But let's start right off the top with Lamar. Let's talk about him a little here. And obviously, there'll be a lot more to talk about as well. Get to the Super Bowl a little maybe towards the end, but then have a full preview later this week. But, you know, I think when it comes to Lamar, there's just so many intriguing options. I still think that traditional thinking around sports media is that the Ravens are going to re-sign him. I still think that's the way people are thinking. I don't think that's the case. I've said for a long time that I think if the Ravens are not willing to give him, you know, they offered him $150 million guaranteed already. If Lamar wants over $200 million guaranteed, the Ravens are not going to do that. I don't think, at least. The Ravens are a very analytically driven franchise. I said this. We had a podcast in person discussing Lamar Jackson before the season, and I said, the Ravens are an analytically driven franchise. They are going to look at this and say, it's not worth it for us to spend more money than we want to on Lamar Jackson. Rather, we will reset the rookie contract, trade him away, get a bunch of draft picks, and get another quarterback maybe cheaper or in the draft. So, you know, that is the Ravens' way of looking at things. That's exactly what they did with Hollywood Brown, as I pointed out in that podcast as well. They said, we got 4 years or 3 years, whatever it was, out of this guy's rookie contract. He only has 1 year left. Let's trade him away and get Linderbaum and reset the rookie contract. And it worked out. It worked to wonders. Linderbaum did great. Hollywood is all right. He's a solid receiver, but that ended up working out well for them, Meisty. But so my opinion is, I don't think the Ravens are going to give Lamar Jackson more than what they're willing to give him. I don't think they're going to budge, if you ask me.
I completely agree with you here. I actually was just saying last night that, you know, maybe the question is who. You move on from Lamar, right? Let's talk about who. Who's next? You know, your options. You know, your options are Daniel Jones. Your options are Derek Carr. Your option is who. So, you know, you might not have a choice but to sign Lamar Jackson here.
You always have a choice because, okay, you could do it. There's a couple different things. It's a good question. It's a valid question. But number one, you can do this. You can trade away Lamar Jackson to the Texans for a high pick. And then you can draft Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, whatever, one of those guys, right? So that's one option. Now, you're not assuming if you go that route, you're not going to only ask for a second overall pick. You're going to need a few first round picks, even if you get a high pick like that. Like, for example, if they trade to the Jets, they're going to ask for four first-round picks because the Jets have a mid-round pick. They're not going to be able to draft a future quarterback for it. So the cost of having a lower pick for the Jets is going to have to be another first-round pick. Whereas if they trade to the Texans, the Texans probably could probably give up one less first-round pick, but it'll just be a higher first-round pick. So, and then the Ravens will be able to draft their quarterback. So the way I see it is either three first-round picks, but one of those being a high pick, or four first-round picks, one of them being a mid-round pick, depending on who they trade with. And then maybe throw another second-rounder in there either. So the question is, if you can get a second-round pick in addition to all these first-round picks, you can trade for Nuke Hopkins. All right, that's a legitimate option. They're saying that he's on the market for a second-round pick, that they would be happy to trade a second-round pick for him. We'll see if that's the case. And then either you get your guy overall, you get your young guy, reset the rookie contract, top five pick, or you can go the Derek Carr route. You know, you can go the Daniel Jones. You can go something like that. I mean, probably Derek Carr is probably more feasible just because he's a good NFL quarterback. Put in the right system, you know, they can be a good team. So I think that's probably the way to go at this point. There's no other way to do it. Like, I don't see the Ravens picking up Aaron Rodgers. I don't see that as a possibility. But Derek Carr is more of a possibility so long as they can get a receiver. Because really, if you look at the roster, it's missing two things: quarterback and receiver. That's what it's missing. Everything else is pretty much in place for a while there. They got, yeah.
No, how much does Derek Carr cost? How much does any of these guys cost you? It's going to still cost you a lot of money.
Derek Carr will save you $15 million a year compared to what Lamar's, and he won't ask for nearly as much guaranteed. So,
well, and that's the kicker. He's on a contract currently. A guy like Derek Carr, he has a big contract currently.
Guaranteed he has, though. You can restructure it.
Right.
You can restructure it, especially where your team has more leeway once they trade for a player to restructure contract. So they can what? If Lamar's asking for $250 million guaranteed, how much Derek
Carr?
I can't imagine he has that much guaranteed. $32 million a year. That's what he's making right now. $33 million a year. Lamar's essentially asking for $12 to $15 million more than that a year. And assuming it's going to be more than twice the amount of guaranteed.
How much?
About $33 million a year.
So if the Ravens were to franchise tag Lamar Jackson this year, that would be $32 million. Just saying.
$45
million. 32.
No, he gets paid like a top five quarterback, I thought.
I see $32
million. Okay, one second. Let me double check that. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but that's one year. So what you're pushing off the inevitable. So you're franchising him only to wait another year and see if maybe next year, what? Next year he'll take less money? Is that the hope? What's the point of it? You're pushing off the inevitable. Now you actually have an opportunity. You can trade for Derek Carr. You can get a high pick.
Because at the end of the day, would you have Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson?
You'd rather Derek Carr than Lamar. What'd you say?
So would you rather have Derek Carr or Lamar Jackson?
This year, I'd rather have Lamar Jackson, but at the price, I would rather have Derek Carr. Because at the end of the day, you're going to need to sign him eventually or part ways with him. His value is very high now. If you wait, it's only going to drop. You know what I'm saying? His value is not getting higher. You can't wait a year and then when he has another mediocre year, it's only going to draw teams further and further away from him. He's still a very highly touted player. People still see him as the former MVP. People still see him as one of the best quarterbacks in football. They still view him in that light. That being said, you can still get multiple first-round picks for him, and a team would still be willing to sign him. For I've been saying for a while, it comes back to the what is your goal as a franchise? Is your goal as a franchise to win the Super Bowl, or is your goal as a franchise to be competitive? Because the way I see it, for a team like the New York Jets, who play in New York, right? They would love nothing more than for the team simply to be competitive, to make the playoffs, to give the fans a reason to come to the stadium every week. I feel like that's what the Jets want. And Lamar Jackson would give the team, would give the fans a reason to come to the stadium every week. He simply would do that. Even if he's not your Super Bowl winning quarterback, even if get you over the hump. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. But he certainly brings excitement to the team. And that's why I think a team like the Jets, or maybe the Lions, would be willing to sign him to a lot of money and even trade away a bunch of picks because he's exactly what those types of markets want, especially a market like New York. So that's why I'm convinced that his value is very high.
At the Falcons, that is a good location for him too.
That's just
a lot of landing spots.
That's a scheme fit. But if you're talking about from a business perspective, I think the Jets makes the most sense. You know, New York, Lamar, New York, bring that excitement to New York. You know,
here's the thing. Correct. So if the Ravens are going to go move on from Lamar, and they need to get a receiver. You don't need to trade for a quarterback. You need to trade for a receiver.
You still need a quarterback.
You trade for a quarterback. It doesn't have to be in the same trade, is my point.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. You don't have to trade for Derek Carr and Devontae Adams.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I see all these people on Twitter and everywhere being like, dude, do this, trade for this. Like, dude, you don't need, like, no, we can trade Lamar Jackson to anyone and just get their receiver.
Right. So the other thing to this is, who is that? Who's that team? Because you're not, the Jets aren't giving up Garrett Wilson for a low price, right? The Lions are giving up St. Brown for a low. Those guys are going to cost the Ravens a couple picks less, right?
A team like the Jets, right, for Garrett Wilson, if the Ravens were to send Lamar Jackson and a second, third-round pick for the Jets, Garrett Wilson, and a first, then it would be worth it.
That's such I feel like you can get so much more for Lamar. Like, you can trade to the Texans for 4 first-round picks.
By the way, clearly not.
You know what? Why? They're probably still negotiating.
You think offers are having coming in? You think offers are coming in? We don't hear about them.
Of course you don't hear, but this is undercover stuff. First of all, when have the Ravens been a public team about these affairs? Never. You never know what's going on there. Steelers
are other teams like to announce it.
Yeah, but the Ravens are always
for the Ravens, or did it just for Lamar Jackson?
Remember when the Ravens signed Bolden a couple years before the Super Bowl run? We had no idea that was happening. That was like these big signings that they do, come at the last second. Yeah. We just never see them coming. So
Baltimore football, you never see it coming. Do you remember that time they just ran away from the team just ran away from the city? No one saw it coming.
When did that happen? It must have been before I was born.
1912.
It's interesting. I was telling this to my father. If the Colts ended up not trading away John Elway, they would still be in Baltimore. If you think about it, the team would have never left Baltimore because they would have been successful with Elway, and that would have been it. They would have stayed, and we would have never had the Baltimore Ravens with the two Super Bowls and all that. So, yeah,
well, we would have had the Baltimore Colts, and we would have been successful, probably.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that in the last 23 years, the Ravens have been one of the best franchises in the league. Them, the Steelers, Patriots, those types of teams. But listen, there's a lot to discuss with Lamar Jackson. There's a lot to hash out here. There's a lot to touch on. Just talking about the Ravens cap situation in general, and dive a little deeper into what they would really do at quarterback if it came down to it. If Bryce Young or CJ Stroud is really an option here. But, let's move on a little here.
Lamar Jackson.
What?
So Justin Fields or Lamar Jackson?
I'm not even going to go down the road, but no. So Nick Wright at CBS, Fox Sports, I'm sorry, who I actually like, and he pretty much proposed like 3 or 4 potential Lamar Jackson trades, right? And one of them was, a bunch of them was like traded to the Jets for 4 first-round picks and a second-round pick. We're like, Ravens getting a lot of value. One of them was just straight-up trade Fields for Lamar. And I'm like, what? No. That's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Lamar Jackson has proved much more than Justin Fields. Justin Fields, I'm still, like, can we talk about the Bears, what they're doing in number 1 for a second here, now that we transitioned? I'm still hesitant to say that he's their franchise quarterback. I just am. I listen, they've tapped into his running ability. He's clearly one of the most dynamic runners in football. He rushed for over 1,100 yards this year. Remarkable numbers, Some big runs, power runner. He's got it all when it comes to the running ability. He didn't really prove much as a pocket passer. He improved a little, maybe 1 or 2 games where he showed some sparks, maybe throw a couple balls 20-plus yards accurately. But, I'm not seeing enough from Justin Fields from the pocket that's really telling me he's a future. What'd he say?
He's young. He's learning. You have to give him some time. He'll get there.
So that's the other thing. How long do you give a guy like that? Like, fine, 1 more year. What if he doesn't improve that much this year?
Okay, so let's talk about the Bears, right? The Bears have the most cap space in football. They can go and sign whoever they want from free agents, okay? They literally can go and sign anyone they want, right? They have the number 1 pick in the draft, so they're going to have the best player coming out of the draft, whatever that means, the number 1 pick. So if they can correctly build a team here, right? And then say, hey, Justin, we've built you an entire team. We brought in receivers. We bought offensive linemen for you. We got you everything you need. Justin, go win us. Go win. Go win the playoffs. Go win something. And if yes, if he can't produce, he gets injured, yeah, they'll move on from him. Yeah. Then they'll just be like, oh, we're quarterback shy? Hey, Aaron Rodgers, remember that you own us? Come play for us. No, I'm just saying that. no, they, you know, but once again, yes. So the Bears, you give him one more year, right? Hopefully he doesn't lose in a heartbreaker in the playoffs or something. And yeah, you'll learn. You'll learn very quickly. Very quickly they'll learn about Justin Fields. They have to spend money right now. If the Bears want to win, it now is the time because the division just is falling apart. You think the Vikings are going to be this good next year? Nope. You think the Packers are going to be any good next year? Probably not very good.
Lions are the best in the division.
The Lions might win the division. Yeah. You know what? I got a bet, early bet for next year. Should we talk about it? Teaser, a little bit, whatever.
Okay, you want to hear something? I think by the time the season comes, the Lions winning the division will be the popular bet.
I got one crazier. The Bears are taking the one seed. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's crazy. Whoa. Okay, that's a way too early prediction for 2023. But listen, I understand you want to give Justin Fields another year, but you have a golden opportunity. You have the number one overall pick in a year where there are some highly touted quarterbacks. So
yeah,
no
one has proven it's Justin Fields.
It's not true. It's just nobody's as proven because none of them have played an NFL snap. But on the other hand, he's going into his third year in his rookie contract, which means he only has 2 years left before you have to trigger that option, right? Here, you get to reset. Their roster is not 2 years away from winning Super Bowl. Not. There's so many holes. So by that time, you're going to have to sign him to an extension if he's even good enough to sign him to that extension. Well, and then you're going to have to sacrifice the rest of your roster. So the more logical thing to do would be to reset the rookie contract. Now you have 4 years to build a roster, much more feasible.
There's no feasibles, nothing. They have so much contract. They couldn't even spend the amount of money they have available. They have $150 million in cap space. They're not even worried. They have no worries whatsoever when it comes to money, the Bears. The Bears do not have to care if they have to pay Justin Fields the most money. It doesn't matter right now. Right now, right here, right now, for the next 2 years, they should be all in, spending their money. They have so much available money. They should be spending it and trying to win. That is what the Bears should be doing. Also, once again, if the Bears fall apart this year and Justin Fields doesn't do his thing, then next year they can have the number one pick again and go and get Marvin Harrison Jr., who would be the biggest game changer. So regardless, that's
interesting. Yeah.
So regardless, going out with Justin Fields, who has shown that he can be very, very, very special in this league. He almost broke Lamar Jackson's records, right? Like, this guy is very special. So you're going to give that up, and every team's going to jump on Justin Fields. So, yeah, first of all, you also get crazy trade value for him. But at the end of the day, you're a team that's not in cap trouble. You literally have $150 million to spend this year. It's crazy.
Yeah, but the reason they're not in cap trouble is because their team stinks. They don't have a good player on the roster. So they're going to have to use that to build up this roster. And, right. You know, and by the time Justin Fields is time to get his contract, you would hope if you're the Bears that they don't have that much cap space left.
Because they don't have a million draft picks.
Do they get trades?
Because all Roquan Smith, they
that's
traded
one,
away.
That's one second round pick. Right.
They traded, what's his name, to the Eagles. I forgot who it was. They traded him to the Eagles. They have from past years trades that they've done. I think they're still collecting from Khalil Mack.
So it's one thing if Justin Fields showed us already, like he had a Trevor Lawrence second year type of thing, you know, and he took that type of jump. Then I agree. You can't move on from a guy like that. But, you know, you're not going to get the number one pick again, likely. You might. Anything can happen. But it's unlikely to get it 2 years in a row, especially if the Bears are going to have an improved roster going into next year, you would assume, because they're going to have all the draft picks and they're going to hopefully pick up a couple players here. So with that being said. What?
They could get Davante Adams, and they can get what's his name.
Nuke Hopkins.
They can have Nuke Hopkins, and that they can afford both of them and still pay linemen.
Nuke Hopkins wants to go to Chicago. You think?
imagine you had Nuke Hopkins on one side and Adams on the other. You'd be a very dangerous team.
Pretty scared. That's a good proposition, but you'd be scared with Bryce Young too, if you have those two those two weapons, not just the Justin Fields. Yeah. What I'm saying is, what does Justin Fields give you over Bryce Young that it's worth it to not reset a rookie contract now? You have an opportunity to do that, to get a quarterback that's a great prospect,
because
right?
In 2 years from now, there's always, because the same way Bryce Young is in the, coming into the league, give it 2-3 years, another quarterback comes into the league. There's always another quarterback.
Then you reassess. That's fine. Then you reassess then. And then it could be at that point the best thing to do will be to draft another quarterback. Look, I'm not against
you have a guy that's capable, because you have a guy that's shown capabilities of being an NFL top five quarterback in the league. You have he has the ability to, with his legs, the same way he has to stay healthy, which is something that they just have to protect him. And he could throw the ball. It's not like he can't throw. He give him some receivers. Yeah, is he Lamar? Is he better than Lamar Jackson? I don't know. He has to prove himself. But hey, go into playoff games, and you have something Lamar Jackson can't do. So,
well, listen, I think that's the thing. I think the hope in Chicago is that he'll become Lamar Jackson. That's like his ceiling.
Well, better than Lamar. Yeah, sure.
But his ceiling is Lamar Jackson. If his ceiling was Lamar Jackson, the Bears are going to run into the same problem the Ravens do now anyway.
Correct.
Right? Is there any hope he's going to be better than Lamar Jackson at this point? I suppose anything is possible, but, you know, listen, I hear where you're coming from. I hear both sides. I think the Bears have a lot to discuss here. They have a lot to figure out. And would you just go Will Anderson? Do you just pick the best guy on the board? Do you trade it? Yeah. Like, I think you got, if you're not going to pick a quarterback, I think you got to trade it, right? I think you got to trade back and get more picks. Like, even if you have a great Will Anderson's a top-notch prospect, this can't-miss guy, even if you have that, you can get a couple other close to can't-miss guys by trading back. So
I have a player the Ravens should pick up, and I know you're going to hate this idea.
Not a running back. Don't tell me it's a running back.
Saquon Barkley.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be Barkley. How much is he going to cost? How much is he going to cost?
10. Fully guaranteed.
Two years, 10 million each?
Yeah, 1 year, 10, 1 year, 2 year, whatever you want to give him. I think it's got 10. PFF has him at 10.09 million, fully guaranteed for what per year? Listen. I say here's the deal. If you're gonna move on from Lamar Jackson, you have to bring in Saquon Barkley because you're gonna need it, something like that, to help you. J.K. Dobbins is good, but J.K. Dobbins and Saquon Barkley are even crazier.
I don't know. The Giants picked Saquon Barkley number 2 overall in his rookie year. He had a fantastic year. How many games did they win that year?
It's not up to them. He's free.
No. I'm just saying, how many games did the Giants win in his rookie year? I genuinely forgot. In his rookie year, they won like 4 or 5 games, didn't they?
It's not him. That's not him. The Ravens
that's my point. My point is there's only so much he could do. He's so limited as a running back.
No, but I'm saying that's a team thing. It helps.
If you can get him for a legit, they won 6 games that year. If you can get him for a legitimately good price, then maybe. But like already $10 million is, you need to focus on receiver and quarterback. Your problem is not running back. Your problem is not your running game.
It's just a guy to pull.
And there's a lot of talented running backs in the free agent. By the way, this is my whole anti-running back thing. This free agency pool proves my point. All the top guys in the free agency pool this year are running backs. All the top talent in the draft are running backs. Because nobody wants to pay these guys or commit to these guys anymore. They're seeing that these guys' careers are very short and they don't add that much value as compared to an average running back. A top-notch running back does not add that much value as compared to an average running back. It just doesn't. That's why teams are not willing to spend double digits. Le'Veon Bell was the icing on the cake for running backs. Again, just because the Jets made
it.
Who was?
Zeke.
Right. Zeke was right after.
Zeke was the cherry on top.
Right. And then after that, Le'Veon Bell was even a bigger disaster than Zeke. And Zeke's been a big disaster himself. And then Tony Pollard comes in and plays way better than him. So that's my entire point with this whole thing. Running backs are just not relied upon. They can't be relied upon. And, you know, again, if you can get him for under $10 million, I guess why not? But, like, I wouldn't get excited over Saquon Barkley. I wouldn't say game changer. What?
Give me Jimmy Garoppolo.
What should the Niners do? What should the Niners do next year?
If you know what the truth is, if the Niners are the smartest thing the Niners can do is they take all three quarterbacks, they put them all in the trade block. At least every team pretty much in the league will probably offer something for them, pretty much. Not every, but whatever. All the teams that are quarterback net needed, a bunch of teams will offer. They'll take the best offer for the two guys. They'll send two of them out. They'll send one of them out. Whatever they decide to do, maybe they'll probably keep Brock Purdy as a backup, go with Trey Lance, If Trey Lance gets traded, then they'll start Brock Purdy or Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what they're going to do. They're going to listen to everything. It's going to be right before training camp, and you're going to get news from them. Brock Purdy's been traded, or Jimmy Garoppolo has been traded, or something.
You think Purdy has trade value right now? You think he has legitimate trade value?
No, zero. I think he's the backup quarterback for them going into next year.
Exactly. I think Trey Lance would still have more trade value.
Trade Jimmy Garoppolo, yes. But once again, if they can get a crazy offer for a guy like Trey Lance and be like, okay, we'll just stick with Jimmy Garoppolo, because between him and Brock Purdy, we were really good.
Wait a second. Okay, this is my opinion. Forget about Garoppolo. Who cares what you do with him? My opinion is they're not going to get
him. Next year, you're going to start caring about him. Next.
No, the Ravens are not going to trade for Garoppolo. They're smarter than that. Oh my gosh, if I'm going to get old takes exposed for that. But but anyway, I just don't see that happening. But anyway, this is my opinion. You have Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, both players which I like a lot better than Jimmy G, okay? So give Trey Lance is your starter going into next year. You gave up too much to get him. You gave up too much to go up in that draft and get him. Even though he's torn his ACL, even though he's had injuries, you have to give him a chance. Have Brock Purdy as a backup as a plan B. I don't see a problem with that. And Jimmy G, forget about him. Who cares about him? He doesn't do anything for you. What does he do for you? Brock Purdy came in, they didn't lose a game with him. So who cares who's a quarterback there? At the end of the day, who cares who the quarterback in the Niners is? A good quarterback's just a bonus there.
That's Josh Johnson.
Right, unless it's Josh Johnson. If it's Josh Johnson, I care. Right. Or Christian McCaffrey doing the Wildcat. Which is probably more effective in offense than Josh Johnson sometimes. But anyway, so that's the point. The point is, you know, in terms of winning games, the Niners have that anyway. My opinion is move on from Jimmy G. And I don't think is anyone trading a second round pick for Jimmy G? You think a team will be willing to do that?
No, but at this point in time, the 49ers, they don't have a choice. They have to get rid of him. His contract is so big that if something were to happen to Trey Lance and Brock Purdy and he was the player again, they lost so much money this past year on him playing. It was dangerous for him to keep playing for them. So, you know, once again, his contract would be insane. No, a team has to trade for him, get him in there, restructure the contract, and play him. He's not bad. He just had a surgery. He wasn't so bad. What was the final injury this year?
No, I don't even know. Knee? I don't even know. I don't keep track of Jimmy G anymore. Listen.
Joe Burrow will get a 7-year contract, 10-year contract. What?
$300 million guaranteed.
Yeah. No. Look at Mahomes' contract. Not a lot of guaranteed. But he'll make billions on earnings. He'll get a second contract worth the same amount.
That's because he keeps on playing well. If he keeps on playing well, he'll keep on making money.
Just saying, look at his contract. Look how much guaranteed. I would assume that what's his name gets the same contract pretty much. Joe Burrow.
Right. So Mahomes is getting about $141 million guaranteed. Even like, for example, Lamar didn't even accept $150. So what, he thinks he's better than Mahomes?
Well, hold on. Because Mahomes gets 10 years, so he's guaranteed to spot on a roster for 10 years.
Oh, so you're saying you'll take less money to be guaranteed on a roster. Does he automatically get 10 years? They can't cut him, theoretically?
I don't know. They could give him a lot of money and cut him.
No, $140 million guaranteed. You could pay it off over the first 5 years, and then after that, you're not tied down to it.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, no, because I think the back end, I think it's mostly guaranteed on the back end.
Ah, if that's the case, then I hear. This is an interesting thing. Well, anyways, you know, I think that Deshaun Watson really did a disservice to the quarterback market, because now people are looking at it and they're like, well, you should get at least $230 million if you're Lamar, if you're Joe Burrow, if you're Justin Herbert, because they're all better than Deshaun Watson. Well, yeah, but the Browns have made some really questionable moves in the past, to be nice. I don't want to, you know, say anything mean about them. They're still an NFL franchise, but, you know, the Browns have not ran their franchise in the most effective way possible. Let's put it like that. They've made a lot of boneheaded moves here, and, you know, Deshaun Watson is just another example of that. I'm not saying Deshaun Watson's not going to be good for them. He might be, but the fact that they decided to pay Deshaun Watson $90 million more than Mahomes is making guaranteed does not mean the rest of the league should suffer. That's all I'm saying, you know? And all these rumors about the bidding war against themselves, whether or not that's true, they clearly paid him a lot more than most teams were willing to pay him. That's the fact of the matter.
Okay. This contract is the most wild contract I've ever seen, this Mahomes contract. So he got $63 million at signing with a 200 with a plus signing bonus and everything. He basically he'll be getting paid just for being on the team. He'll be making he'll cost the team $52 million in cap space, $59 million in 2027. Some year it's just it's the last year of his contract, it's a $13 million contract.
Oh, I see that.
It's crazy, right? There's all these things. So, oh, here's the bonuses. I was looking for it. No right. trade clause. If he wins MVP, he gets $1 million cash. Playoff bonus for winning the AFC Championship game is $1 million.
This guy's loaded.
Yeah. 2031 base salary, fully guarantees. Third league day. $51 million, $63 million. He gets $94 million on the third day in 2030. Like the guy is set for life.
Yeah, he gets $63 million guaranteed at signing. So right off the bat, he's set for life. You know, and then after that. So it's interesting how the contract sort of goes slightly up for a few years. It's a climax and then goes slightly down until the end of the contract.
And once again, at any point, they can be like, all right, Mahomes, time to restructure. We need to, you know, set up the team again. And they'll restructure it, and they can heartbeat because as long as both sides agree, and then they can keep doing that. There's no reason why a guy like Joe Burrow doesn't end up in the same contract.
All right. If you're that good, you can pretty much work with the team for the rest of your career. Like, whatever.
It's back-to-back AFC Championship games for Joe Burrow with no offensive line, with no – you know, his defense schwach, not very good. So,
yeah.
Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen got a 5-year deal, but, you know, there are quarterbacks out there that I think we'll start seeing more of these huge contracts because, once again, here, I see Lamar Jackson doesn't fit the criteria because Lamar Jackson is a rushing quarterback who's been injured, and when he's been injured, he's not helping. Even Joe Burrow, with his injury, came back and almost won the Super Bowl.
Look what the Cardinals did with Kyler Murray, on the other hand. Right? So that happened, and now he's shown he's injury prone.
He's screwed. They're screwed. Are we going to turn out to be – do we want to be the Cardinals? No.
No, that's why the Ravens – you know, that's why I think teams are going to be scarred a little bit from giving those big contracts. If you have Mahomes, if you have Burrow, you have no choice. If you have those guys, you have no choice. You've got to sign them, of course. They're your franchise. But if you have the next tier guys like Lamar and obviously it was with Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, those types of guys, who says that it's worth it to sign them to a long-term contract? Teams might be more scarred from what happened with the Cardinals and be like, well, $140 million guaranteed, which is what Kyler Murray got. And then, boom, he misses an entire year. They were a disaster this year. He's going to miss over half the year next year, right? I mean, that's a disaster over there. So the first two years effectively of his contract for nothing.
Okay. Speaking of contracts, speaking of insane numbers, someone just retired from football. One of the all-time greatest.
Wonder who that is.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
Only GOAT. Was never, ever, ever the best quarterback in the league. He was just the best player. Talk about contracts about Tom Brady real quick. In 25 seasons or whatever he was that he played, never was he the highest paid quarterback that year. Never, ever, ever. You're talking about a 7-time where, oh, but I want this much guaranteed and I want this amount of money. The man won 7 Super Bowls and was never the highest paid quarterback in the league. Respect.
Seems like Mahomes is taking a similar approach, right? He doesn't necessarily want to be the highest paid player. He just wants to win Super Bowls. He'll still make plenty of money. He'll be loaded by the end of his career. But at the same time, he'll be loaded with Super Bowl rings, hopefully, for his sake as well. So that's really the hope to try to balance those two. Like, I'll take $5 million less a year, $7 million less a year, so we can now get another offensive lineman, right? That's sort of and that's what the Chiefs did. The Chiefs now invested in the offensive line. Look how far it's gotten them. The offensive line has paid huge dividends for them this season. So, yeah, I agree with you. That I think he's taking a page out of Brady's book. You know, the quarterback contract is sort of like that. Like, you need, It's crazy to say, but you need a guy like Mahomes or Burrow. Because once you have guys like that, now you can all of a sudden, they'll work with you. You work with them to make sure you can get a couple extra players. If they need to take less, they'll take less 1 year. If you give them more the next year, give them bonuses, bake it in a little more, they'll still make plenty of money. They'll be happy. You'll be happy. Everyone's great. You'll win a few Super Bowls. And that's it. That's what your goal is as a team, but you have to hit on one of those quarterbacks. You got to find the gold. That's it. Which is why I keep on saying this thing with the Bears, to just try to keep on finding the gold. Even with the Ravens, keep on trying to find the gold.
Justin Fields might not be gold, but he's definitely silver. He's definitely gold plated. He's gold plated. You know, he might possibly be all right. So
maybe. All right, let's get everyone out here. Just a couple Super Bowl thoughts, okay? So number one, I want to point out, the spread here is dangerous either direction,
yeah.
Right? So the Eagles are 8-9 against the spread. The Chiefs are 7-12 against the spread this season, right? So obviously, you know, and the Eagles are favored. So on the one hand, you're looking at it and you'd be like, well, the Eagles have had a better record against the spread, but the Eagles are favored by 1.5. I don't know, man. This is a tough one. I don't think I think this spread is probably pretty tough. What do we think about the 50.5 over under? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy number because, you know, this game can go either ways, and we'll get into that next week. But, I mean, later in the week, I should say, not even next week, later this week, about, you know, is it going to be an offensive game? Is it going to be a defensive game? I just, you know, back in the day, Super Bowls were bad games. Super Bowls were blowouts. Only of recent years have we had crazy games and, you know, crazy finishes and high scoring. And, I mean, this is real. I mean, both these teams are literally number one across the board in all aspects of their conferences. There is no one in the AFC that you'd be like, yeah, they're better than the Chiefs. There's just not. Period. And in the NFC, yeah, you could say, oh, this team, I don't know. Bottom line is, look at the numbers. Eagles are the best team. Said the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
Okay.
There's other teams.
Who? No, I want to see. I'm curious who.
What do you mean? The 49ers, I mean, they had 12 straight wins. So, right? 49ers with Bosa not hurt and Brock Purdy not getting hurt. Once again, they still got crushed, but they are 12 straight wins. So you can't like throw that out. They had 12 straight wins and then everyone just got hurt, which is on them. It sucks. It's too bad. You suck. Right? That's part of life when things go wrong. But, and then also the other team in the NFC was, oh no, the Vikings were frauds. So other than that,
Cowboys probably
right, yeah. So the Cowboys were your only other threat, and talent wise, the Cowboys are very talented. Don't get me wrong, but the Eagles are the number one team in the NFC. The Chiefs are the number one team in the AFC in all aspects, no matter how you want to put it. Who's more rounded? The Eagles. The Eagles are a more rounded team. They have all the players in all these positions. But once again, who do the Chiefs have? They have Mahomes. So what more do you need? You have Mahomes. That's all you need. You literally. That's it. It's like, I have Mahomes. I don't need more. It's going to be a great game. I'm super excited. America's got all... If Vegas... I'll say it like this. If Vegas has anything to say with this game, the Chiefs are winning. So, let's hope America wins. I'm always rooting for America. So,
tell me if I'm wrong, but the reason that the Eagles might be favored in this game is because we still don't know if Kadarius Toney or Juju Smith-Schuster are playing, right? And L'Jarius Sneed is also injured. Hardman's out, I think, officially. Mecole Hardman.
Is that official? I mean, technically, Mahomes is also injured.
Still has injuries. Right. So all those injuries, you know, the Eagles don't really have, except for their season-ending injuries, they don't really have any, like, week-to-week players. Like, you know, so that's going to sway a little. Like, yes, they have Mahomes, and Mahomes was, what he did last week on one leg was unbelievable. But there's only so much you can do on one leg. So this is going to be intriguing. It's going to be great, like you said. You know, you look at the matchups. It's the Chiefs are ranked 6th in the league on the defensive side, and the Eagles are ranked 2nd in the league on the defensive side, whereas the Chiefs are ranked 2nd in the league in the offensive side, and the Eagles are ranked 9th in defense. So both these teams, top 5 teams in the league, no question, best records in football. We're going to get into all the matchups. So many intriguing matchups here. You know, you have the up front. Chiefs offensive line has been one of the best in the league this year. Really has. Creed Humphrey all starting in the middle there. Ever since they brought him in, it's sort of been like a shift in the scheme over there. You know, maybe tap into the running game a little more. Short stuff, not as many deep balls, but there's so much to discuss here, dude. So it's going to be exciting. I still think that 50.5 is a high over under. I believe that very much. I don't know if I would go over on that one. But yeah. I don't know if I'd do any betting on this game. I think it's just too up in the air. Everything is too up in the air. Injuries and matchup wise, and the teams are so equally matched, and you got Mahomes on one side, you got a better team in the Eagles probably, but you got Mahomes on the other side, and you know. That's it, man. All right, so we'll get more into that later in the week. Anything else you want to end off with?
Keep the Pro Bowl.
Agreed. I mean, even though we lost you for a few minutes there during the Pro Bowl segment, but, you know.
It's okay.
We figured out a way to get there.
The Pro Bowl. I changed the channel.
All right. Seems like we're out of here, guys. So we'll see you next time. Take care.
All right, we're done.
What?